welcome to that 80s show. And I did not expect to wake up this morning and see Kenny G trending.
Nobody ever expects the Kenny G trend.
I mean, because we, back in the 80s, we didn't expect the Kenny G trend.
No, look, let's be clear. Like, I will confess that I liked Kenny G for a time. I actually bought the album.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it. Now I can't bear it.
You see, when you said I liked Kenny G for a time, I thought you were saying, yeah, between the 6th and 13th floor. This, you know, you're going to get to, you know, that's the time you do like Kenny G. He's not dead. He didn't die. He was with
Dude, he had to have an extra show.
Really?
I think he announced he was coming here to perform. It got sold out. They had to have an extra show.
Is this recently?
Yes.
People love elevator music.
People love Kenny G.
He's trending because he was with the Doja Cats. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do know what a Doja Cat is.
Video Music Awards. Did you watch the video of that performance, by the way?
I did.
Doja Cat, she's got... I don't know that song.
No, I don't know it.
Spectacularly sounding 80s type song.
Very.
The performance.
Yes, the backup dancers. Oh,
so authentic.
Definitely went all out 80s.
Yeah.
One even had a guitar.
I know.
Yeah.
I think, were there not two keytars?
There might have been two keytars.
And I didn't watch it because I was like, wow, that's Kenny G. I think there could have been a keyboard tie.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, so, Doja Cat.
I also noticed
Video Music
that
Awards.
Her boobs were very solid.
Okay.
Like, she was wearing like what looked like just when you just take a white shirt and kind of tie it around yourself. Mm-hmm. No bra. Now, as a woman, I know that there is boob tape there doing the most.
Yeah.
But she did it well. I was very impressed by the cleavage.
There was so much spectacular 80s in this.
There was.
Performance. I did not even notice that.
You didn't notice the boobs?
I swear I did not. There were so many
that
amazing 80s things.
A new record. That's a new record.
Kenny G, Neon, everything. I don't even know the name of the song. We will pop the video up.
Yeah, I had no idea of the song.
That 80s show essay.
I don't follow her as such.
I get so confused by a Doja Cat, a Dua Lipa. There's a third one.
Ariana Grande, even though the name's not the same.
That one I know. Who I know her.
No, but like if I hear songs on the radio, I don't know if I'm listening to Ariana Grande, Dua Lipa, Sabrina Carpenter. They all sound the same to me.
They do.
They really do.
All middle of the road, inoffensive. Well, they're actually quite offensive, some of the stuff.
I quite like one of the Ariana Grande songs that I heard on the radio this weekend.
Anyway,
let's get back to the 80s.
This is that 80s show where it's always a good time to wear a cerise cummerbund.
I still have to dig out my childhood photos. I have nothing to compete with that photo. If you don't know what we're talking about, go to that 80s show Facebook page.
You got to go to it. Dory and I are really persevering with Facebook. It's hard. Because Facebook is so shit right now.
Well, or social media in general.
Oh, Facebook is the most horrible. It's just, you cannot find anything. It's all AI. It's nonsense.
I don't do much on it. So
but we do have that 80 Show Essay Facebook page. It's the one kind of like untainted. I won't even do, because I was like the other day, ChatGPT, tell me how to get more people, like create content that more people like. And it gives me all this stuff. I was like, nah, fuck it.
You're not going to do any of that.
No, you know what? I'm happy with the people we have. They're there for a reason. I'm not going to go do that shit.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because it's disingenuous.
Yeah, we've got to be real.
But the other day, I post up a photo of me. I was a page boy for my cousin's wedding.
So I have a photo of myself as a flower girl for my cousin's wedding. So I need to find that.
Oh, yeah.
But I look very normal in a lovely white dress.
I know.
You, on the other hand.
I look very normal for
the 80s. Very normal.
For the 80s.
I was not expecting that, though. That photo was...
What was that fabric called? So shiny and so flammable. No doubt. No doubt I caught fire at some point.
I'm sure you did. And also, like, if you spilled something on it, it just repelled it.
Yeah,
like, it didn't absorb anything.
No, the bio-nanotechnology in that was to this... They put on the spaceships.
Yeah.
It was on the spaceships. Dory.
Yes.
Stop. Die Horlösi, investigative journalism here on that 80s show. I smell a rat.
Yeah.
I smell a stinky, stinky rat.
Is it a Durban-based rat?
Well, I'm going to, listen, we don't want to get sued up in here on that 80s show. We're just going to present to you the facts. We're going to discuss it. Well,
what we know.
Well, yes, this is presented to us. So it's, I saw it on two outlets today.
Mm-hmm.
One is, I won't say the name, a well-known-ish outlet, but it is very definitely written by some sort of AI.
Okay.
A human being did not write that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll disregard that one.
Yeah.
This one seems to be written by a human being. Even got the person's name here. The Highway Mail, which is part of the Caxton Group, which is on the Citizen's website.
Okay.
Kylie, Rick, and Billy in Durban. Or is this 80s dream too good to be true?
So let me quickly tell you, when I saw the headline, my first thought was Billy Idol.
Oh.
Imagine my disappointment when I read further and it's Billy Ocean.
Well,
not that there's anything wrong with Billy Ocean, but I have seen him live. He's been here.
I played it on the dream, Get Out of My Dreams. I don't know if the writer was going with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Social media says yes, but officials say not so fast. This journalist asked around, checked the tour dates and dug into the buzz, but no official confirmation from either of their camps. So it's been announced that December 6th at the Sharks Stadium, I think that's Newlands or Kings Park.
I don't know. Durban's small, doesn't matter.
In Durban, Rick Astley, Kylie Minogue, Billy Ocean, and Sonia.
Sonia, who's not mentioned in the headline.
I mean, come on, guys. I mean, she's there in a picture, but she's in the corner.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, come on, guys, Sonia, you got to. Read that headline, you're like, what? Okay, Billy Idol, Billy Ocean aside.
Yeah.
Pretty excited about this. Got to be.
I was immediately skeptical, though, for various reasons.
So I was like, firstly, strange time of year.
Not necessarily. That didn't throw that didn't, a flag okay. for me.
So what this journalist goes on to say is that not only them, but on social media, people are like, hold on a second, yeah. Like I did, as intrepid as I am, intrepid journalist,
mm-hmm.
you'd appreciate because you work in news organizations as well.
Yes.
I went to go check the first thing. Let's go look at the social media of each of these people.
Right.
Kylie Minogue's the biggest.
By far?
No mention.
Yeah.
Rick Astley. In terms of recency, he's got a tour coming up in October.
Mm-hmm.
He's promoting that. No mention of South Africa.
Yeah.
Billy Ocean, nothing. Mm. You're going, well, Sonia must be saying something. Nothing.
Mm.
So far, the four main artists not put anything on their social media. The promoters, no online presence. What we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
There is a press release. Now, the news about this is that the concert is put on by the Sharks, the rugby team.
Right.
And the events manager of the Sharks, we are thrilled to be partnering with production company, I'm not saying the name, to host the icons of the 80s concert at Hollywood Bets Kings Park. Bringing world-renowned artists like Kylie Minogue, Rick Astley, Billy Ocean, and Sonia to Durban is a privilege, and we're committed to working closely with the promoters to deliver an unforgettable world-class event. Tickets for the show range from 400 Rand to 4,000 Rand for the VIP experience. Official tour dates released by the Never Gonna Give You Up singer Rick Astley on his social media and website for April 2026 do not list South Africa, which that's odd because it's about December.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what it goes on to say is like, none of them have mentioned on their official pipes. Talk to me about your skepticism.
Okay, firstly,
okay, look, here's the thing I have to say. Are we just so giddy with delight of going, it cannot be real, so I'm just preparing myself for it? Or are we rats?
So first of all, Kylie Minogue and Rick Astley are the same person, so they can't both be performing at a concert.
Well, they're the same singer.
Yes.
Evidently different people, but they're the same singer. Let's explore Kylie for a little bit.
Yes.
Billy Ocean, Rick Astley. Shame. Sonia will put in a different area.
She'll bring up the rear.
Yes. I like that. I mean, Rick Astley, Billy Ocean, they've been releasing music, but they know what they are.
Yeah.
Their heritage. Kylie Minogue can fucking sell out stadiums in South Africa by herself.
There's no ways that she's going to come here and just perform in Durban.
Not
a chance.
Like a 3-month run up?
Also, I don't know how much money the Sharks have or Hollywood Bets or whoever. They do not have enough money to bring Kylie Minogue out here for Durban.
That's what I'm saying. Kylie will do arenas. Kylie will sell out 4 or 5 concerts
Kylie
here
would do,
herself.
Would do Soccer Stadium.
Yes.
The Calabash.
Soccer City Calabash.
The Calabash. 2 nights, easily.
No problem. Overflow.
Yeah.
People fighting for Kylie. So that's kind of go, oof. She seems a little bit too big for this.
You see, the thing is, no artist just goes to Durban. Even when Pet Shop Boys were coming and they were only going to be in Durban, they ended up doing a night in Joburg.
Because you might go, okay, well, we are being bought out for this, but we've got to maximize. We're fucking here anyway. Yeah. We're not landing internationally in Durban,
no.
Surely.
No.
You know, you still, I mean.
Yes. So they did a night in Joburg before they went to Durban.
Yeah.
So I luckily got to see them twice, which was very exciting.
Yes.
Sonia? Who? Who's Sonia? I'm sorry.
Just being mean.
I'm being mean. But the point is, I'm less excited about this than you are. Even if it is going to happen. Look, I would love to see Rick Astley again.
You see, Dory,
I really would.
This segment isn't called Who Does Dory Like or Not? This segment is called
I Smell a Rat.
Smell a Rat.
Okay.
Okay, so we have mentioned no one involved other than the Sharks, but there's an official quote from the Sharks there.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get hold. I have a promoter friend who brings out many acts.
We have put the celeb savant onto it. We sent it to him and said, listen, surely it's fake news. Because if it's Kylie stuff, he's going to definitely
be
fake
right
news.
On it.
Yeah. He definitely. So he's also.
In fact, didn't he interview Sonia? I think he's probably got her on WhatsApp.
Probably, yeah.
He can just WhatsApp her and ask.
So he's looking into this. Dory just said, yes, we know someone who could WhatsApp Sonia right now and find out, yes.
I do think that that is the case, though. I feel like he has interviewed her.
Speaking of which, Sonia, very good friends with our good friend Thomas Anders. Thomas Anders launched a WhatsApp channel a few weeks ago. That man is living his best life as an older person playing with technology.
Let me guess, you're following it.
Of course I am. Now, WhatsApp channels that come from official sources, they're like, I mean, they're basic glorified social media channels, isn't it?
No. Press releases.
No, no. Yeah. This is him. This is my lunch. This is my wine. This is where we walked. It's like he's treating it like you would send, like on a family chat.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
That actually sounds kind of cool. I think I should join it.
I'm telling you, I'll share it with you. It's the best. He's just like, oh, I had lunch. Oh, look at this. Delicious. There's no one double checking that.
He is
so great.
He is making us all want to be him.
Well,
that's his goal in life.
So I imagine Sonia is doing very similar. Okay, so we will follow the story. If anybody involved, you know, comes across, we are the premier 80s podcast South Africa.
Actual proof that this is real.
I mean, of course, we want it to be true. We're not saying it's not true. We're just saying, served with the evidence, you know. And that's just our sinuses. So, another thing that is definitely fucking true. Cousin Louis sends me something about Corey Feldman this week. Sea Dog, about a performance of his, this and that, this and that. I said, listen, man, that is not even the most interesting, earth-shattering, going to keep you and I in content for as long as he's involved, help us with the SEOs for as long as he's involved. Corey Feldman was announced on the lineup of Dancing with the Stars. Right. New season starting in September. Corey Feldman, part of the team, part of the roster.
Look, I don't watch Dancing with the Stars.
No, no one does. Dory, this is not about, we're not saying go watch Dancing with the Stars. No one gives a shit about Dancing with the Stars.
I do want to see him dance.
That's what I'm about. He says I'm a
social media clips.
He's like, look, I'm a professional dancer. He's like, I'm a, because he did.
We've seen his moves.
We've seen him dance.
He says
this is a different type of dancing.
Michael Jackson moves on stage.
Yeah. I think he's just a Michael Jackson impersonator. But anyway, he can dance. He released music.
Mm-hmm.
But can he ballroom dance? Can he cha-cha? Can he foxtrot?
Can he tango?
We'll only find out. Only find out. Dancing with the Stars starts in September.
I'm kind of curious who else is on the roster.
Dory, do you want the roster?
I'd like the roster.
Okay.
Thank you. I probably won't know any of them.
Well, Dory, you can sit back as I regale to you who else is on the roster. Now,
let's see if I know any of them.
What you got to remember about Dancing with the Stars, we're not fucking, Tom Cruise isn't on Dancing with the Stars.
No.
Sabrina Carpenter is not on Dancing with the Stars. They very much are a home for kind of like has-beens, wannabes, never-gonna-bes, B, C, D list celebrities.
Yeah.
Way higher than us.
Of course.
We're not even an alphabet. We're like, you know when you go to places like big places with seats, BB seats? We're not even that. We're okay? We're minor celebrities. here we go. Lauren Juraghi from the band Fifth Harmony.
Who?
Exactly.
What? Okay.
Jordan Chiles, an Olympian. No?
Nope.
Dylan Efron. He's Zac Efron's little brother. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Now we're even
going. Don't know him specifically, but see, I know his brother.
Now we're even going, like, famous celebrities. Mm. Celebrity siblings, that's where we are.
This is almost as if it was Don Swayze.
Scott Hoying from something called Pentatonix.
Oh, I know Pentatonix.
You know them?
Yes, okay. They do those really cool 3D song things.
Okay.
Oh, they're very cool.
Oh, well done, Scott Hoying.
Don't know what he looks like.
Oh, here's another one. Jen Affleck.
Hmm.
Not related to Ben Affleck, but she's a Secret Life of Mormon Wives woman.
Ooh.
I saw the trailer for that. I don't know. Either. Andy Richter. I know him.
Yeah.
He's Conan O'Brien's sidekick.
Yeah.
Baron Davies, NBA player.
Yeah.
Elaine Hendricks. She's from The Parent Trap. Corey Feldman, as we said. Hilaria Baldwin, Alec Baldwin's wife.
Wow.
Yes. Whitney Levitt, also a Mormon wife. Robert Irwin, Steve Irwin's son.
Huh.
Yeah. But also another Gen Z 80s one, Danielle Fishel, Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Huh.
We've got two 80s people there and a Baldwin. Always need a Baldwin in there. I read something the other day. There's actually an interesting question. So, you know, you get like Gen X and then you get millennials and you get Zennials.
Yeah.
Classically, I'm a Zennial because I'm 1980. So I'm right between the two. So there's like 2 years of Zennials.
Mm-hmm.
So is the cutoff of a Zennial whether you like Boy Meets World or not? I love Boy Meets World. You hated it.
Yeah.
Is that the cutoff between Gen X and Zennial into millennial? Science
indeed.
Okay, so
I was just about to say more research needed.
Nah. We will not be watching Dancing with the Stars whatsoever.
Oh, I want to see a clip.
Trust me.
Of Sea Dog dancing.
Are we doing a Corey Feldman clip a week? Are we let's do that. We're gonna be judges.
I assume your Google alerts are already on for Sea Dog.
Fired. Burning.
So I'll rely on you to send them. Are you smelling the burning Google alerts?
I'm smelling they're on fire. Them and the rats. Yes. So every week we are going to, for the 2 weeks that he's on.
Yeah.
He's not winning this. Unless he does win it. Fuck.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Are we team Corey? Are we team C-Dog?
Who else are we going to be team?
Fuck everyone. Fuck Zac Efron's brother. Fuck you. Said no one ever.
Screw you, Mrs. Baldwin.
Can you imagine saying, fuck you, Zac Efron's brother? No one would because I'm never going to get near him. Got to be nice to the brother. Right? Well, not us.
I don't care.
Fuck you, Zac Efron's brother. What's your name even? Dylan. Dylan Efron. Your chat. As they say. This week, we're not doing a movie recommendation each. We're doing a TV show recommendation brought up by something Dari brought up last week. Houston, we do not have a problem.
You stole it from me. I was going to say it.
TV show last week, Dari brings up Matt Houston. I'm like, Matt Houston, what are you talking about? We say, right, we're both going to watch that this week. We're both going to talk about it. Dory's comments. His voice is like hearing a long-lost father figure.
Honestly, so familiar.
I came for the moustache, but I'm staying for the helicopter and grotto in his office. And mine was, I'd forgotten about the show until I saw his little helicopter. She replied, not a euphemism. We're talking about Matt Houston, the TV show. The forgotten TV show.
So underrated. So underrated. So I did watch this when it was on TV. My mother and I used to watch it every week together. We used to love it. But it is one of those that you kind of just forget. It's not like MacGyver stays in your brain forever. The A-Team stays in your brain forever. Knight Rider stays in your brain forever. Airwolf.
Mm.
Somehow, Matt Houston went out of my brain.
It feels to me like a thing. They were going, moustaches are big. Everyone loves Burt Reynolds.
Yep.
They're loving this Tom Selleck guy. We need a moustache. Go find us a moustache and Matt
Let's
Houston.
Let's take a Texan and put him in California, give him shit tons of money and see what happens.
So you're probably going, what the fuck is Matt Houston? What are you people talking about? Is he related to Whitney Houston? Is he the singer Matt Houston? Which is very confusing.
There's a singer named Matt Houston?
Oh, sorry. When trying to like do research and background checks on this, there's a singer called Matt Houston.
I had no idea. Okay.
No, it's now streaming on Spotify, new album. So it's a TV show called Matt Houston. Matt Houston, the main character.
Like 81 to 84 or
81
something.
To 84. Lee yeah. Horsley is the main Lee actor. Horsley,
who, the more I watched him, I realized absolutely is the product of, he is the child between the guy from Lady Chatterley's Lover and Tom Selleck. If they had a baby, it would be Lee Horsley. He that, looks like a combination of the
You know, them. Science is a wonderful thing these days.
Mm.
I can't even think how that it would be possible.
Just imagine it in your brain.
A test tube? Can we? Is that what we're doing?
We Genetics. Could mix the DNA.
Can mix it. Anyway.
Anyway, the point
he
is
not. He is not descendant of that.
No,
thankfully
he's not.
So, because I got a feeling might be too much moustache. Do you not think?
Yes.
If no, you combine the DNA of so much moustache to create Lee Horsley, you're gonna. I think you're gonna have
and,
too
and
much.
And Lee Horsley has minimum moustache.
I got to tell you,
but just the right amount.
If you're kind of going right, this guy sits in between on the pantheon of mustachioed men in the 80s between Burt Reynolds and Tom Selleck. I got to say he's the better looking one of the three.
Oh, he is.
He's got this like cheeky little smile.
Oh my goodness.
So cheeky.
He gets this like thing with his eyes. And
listen, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
The SPM on this show is fucking through the roof.
SPM?
Smirks per minute.
That's the word I was looking for.
There, non-stop smirking. It basically said, how should I read the scene? Aaron Spelling said, you know what to do.
Mm.
Smirk. Fucking smirked the way through three fucking seasons.
Okay, let's get into it. How many episodes did you watch?
Well, let's go right to the beginning.
Okay.
Go right to the beginning. So moustaches are big in the 80s.
They just were.
They yeah. just were.
Maybe and a little bit of a comeback.
Aaron Spelling, he yeah. of being Tori Spelling's father, Beverly Hills, 90210.
Literally made all the TV shows.
All of them. The Love Boat, Charlie's Angels, Heart to Heart. He was just making TV shows. But like really like don't have to think everybody's pretty.
Mm.
Like it's fun.
It's shenanigans. Lots of
shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Could we change his name to Aaron Spish Shenanigans? We should. Just shenanigans shows.
Yeah.
Silly shenanigans.
Yeah.
And he decides, well, fuck it. I need moustaches. We're going to do this, right?
Mm.
And it actually called, he had the flair for gloss and girls and over the top fun. That's how it was on one review I read.
Yes.
So Matt Houston is a Texas oil man.
Yes.
So funny. That was like the height of being rich in the 80s.
Yeah.
Texas Oil. I'm watching something on Netflix about the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones. He's a Texas Oil man. I was going, that was the way you made that Texas Oil man.
Mm.
Now he'd be like what? A tech tycoon. Mm. He would be like a media mogul, you know? Texas Oil man. Runs it with his family, has a falling out with his dad, goes, fuck this. I'm moving to LA
yeah.
to go solve crimes.
And be rich and drive around in fancy cars.
Because he's so rich, he goes and starts a detective agency in L.A.
No, well, I mean, because I watched the pilot, and in yes. the pilot it's described as he kind of just solves crimes for fun on yeah. the side.
Yeah, he so never gets paid.
He's running all these companies, but he's not actually doing anything.
And
he's got Murray to do all the work.
And you get the sense Murray is just fucking, listen, I want to see season 4, Murray the money launderer. Because Murray, every couple... We're buying this company. We're buying this company. We're buying this. Buy it. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I mean, Matt Houston is going to jail for tax evasion because of fucking Murray.
I have to tell you, I started watching it and immediately CJ comes on and I'm like, oh, I remember her.
No,
Murray comes on. I'm like, oh my God, I remember him. Everyone just came back to my brain. They were just back.
Now, CJ is his beleaguered partner.
You want to say PA, but she's more than that.
I didn't sense that she was PA. I thought she was like his partner, like they solved crimes together. She's stupid. She went to Harvard. She's super smart. She built a computer called Buddy. I forgot about Buddy.
Baby. It's called Baby.
And it's an Apple III, and it solves crimes. It's you know what's on Baby?
What?
A list of every person who's ever existed, living and dead.
Basically, it was the internet before the internet. They predicted the internet.
On an Apple III. Who was even fucking around?
On a computer that came out of the table in a sunken lounge in his luxurious office that included a jacuzzi.
I mean, and it was a penthouse?
Not one lie in what I've just said.
No, that is really what happened. It was a penthouse.
At first, I thought this is where he lives. No, this no, is just that's his office. Penthouse, office, jacuzzi.
He lives out on the ranch.
He's got a little huge ranch.
He's got a little helicopter. Yes.
And so he helicopters.
He flies his own little. And listen, we're not talking helicopter. We're not talking Airwolf size helicopter.
No, no, no. It's a little helicopter.
More helicopters than I have.
But does the job.
It's a one man helicopter.
Mm. Well, two people can fit in it.
Two people, but very tight. But anyway.
Because him and CJ were in it at one point. Yeah.
So he takes his little. Yeah, because he lives on his ranch. Jumps in his little helicopter.
But he's got all the conveniences of home in his office. Because how many times does he change clothes while he's in his office?
And let's talk about his clothes for a second here.
Let's get into the clothes.
That man can fucking wear a suit.
A white suit.
With a white tie.
Can he pull off a white suit?
I did not see him look shit once. And you know when he's not wearing suits and white suits?
He's wearing jeans and a checked shirt, like a lumberjack. Hottest lumberjack ever.
Did you notice how many times he'd wear chaps? Because he's very much Matt Houston PI.
Yeah.
Suits. When he goes to a ranch, he's cowboy.
Yeah.
Hat, chaps, all that.
Total cowboy.
Do you notice how many times they zoomed in on his crotch when he put on his chaps?
I think we might have watched different episodes. No, I didn't notice that.
There were gratuitous crotch shots. We definitely know which way he wears, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Right? Rightly so. And he's so happy on his ranch because he's like, fucking shoeing horses, fucking catching errant calves, mending fences. It's a fucking action man. Like you said, like this father figure. Yep. What a daddy. Cars.
Oh, let's talk about the cars.
This man has a collection of cars. Now, he's a Texas oil man.
Yeah.
Murray's laundering money, evading tax. We don't know about that. Like, just like suspend belief of what the fuck Murray is doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Murray's always asking him to sign stuff.
Mm.
That's all. Sign this. Wait, don't leave. Sign
That's
this.
So dodgy, Murray is. Murray!
And fucking, he catches him when he's rushing out so that he doesn't have time to read what he's signing.
That money is all going to Panama. Matt Houston is going to jail.
Mm.
Murray fucking off. Now, he's rich. What do rich men buy? Cars.
Yeah.
So many cars he has.
Crazy cars.
And he does so many stunts with cars.
They always end up in some sort of body of water.
Like, I was like, why is this always happening?
Like, he's always driving into some sort of body of water. Yeah.
Too often.
In fact, I only watched the pilot, which was long, an hour and mm-hmm. a half, and one other episode, and cars ended up in water.
Did you, is it in the pilot where he drives a DeLorean?
I think so.
Mm.
Yes.
He drives a DeLorean.
Yes.
Now, remember.
And then he's driving some other car and he ends up on a golf course in the water.
Yes. And there's the other one who he's driving like the off-roader and he ramps it into the swimming pool.
Yeah, but I didn't see that episode. I saw that in the intro.
I think that's in the intro
as well.
It
is in the open credits, yeah.
The pilot was done in 1981. He's driving a DeLorean then. Yeah. He's driving a DeLorean before it was cool.
Yeah.
It was just a dud when he drove it.
Oh, let's be clear. This man set all the trends. Let's be clear.
You got to say, this is the greatest TV show of the 80s you never watched. Now, you asked me how many episodes did you watch the pilot one?
I watched the pilot and one other episode, which I'll tell you about. Yeah,
I skimmed through about 7 or 8 across the 3 seasons.
Okay. Right? I only did season 1.
I got to tell you, I'm going to say that. If you're going to get into Matt Houston, every episode on YouTube,
yeah,
every single episode on there, only watch season 1.
Mm.
Because season 1 is so silly. From then on, it starts getting like a little bit, you know, they kind of go, oh, shit. Like,
no,
we got to compete
horrible.
With the A-team. We got to like, and their storylines get a little bit more intense.
Ah, no, that's
season 1 is the campy nonsense bullshit,
well,
right?
I like tap it in on YouTube and I see, okay, episode 1 pilot. I'm like, okay, let me do this. And then I see it's an hour and a half and I'm like, oh, God. That hour and a half went so quickly. I didn't even like blink and I loved every second of it. I didn't skip at all.
Not even
through the car chases. I watched the car chases and there were a fair amount of them.
But everything was done so, like, just well. Like, just well for 80s.
Yeah.
There's the one, it's in the trailer, but the intro, but I watched it, this episode as well. He's trying to get into someone's villa to go steal some papers.
I see that, where he's running and then they're shooting at the plants.
Yes.
Yes, the pot
so
plants.
So he first, now big tough
I
guy.
I remember that, yeah.
From the 80s. I'm going to charge the door with my shoulder. He was a high school football star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He rams the door with his shoulder. The door doesn't move. He's like, oh, fuck.
That's so real.
And then he tries to go through the back door and he picks up a rock and he's going to throw it through.
Mm.
And just before he does, he goes, hold on a second. He tries the door and the door's unlocked. And it's just the silliness.
The silliness, exactly.
Constant moments. But again, all smirks.
Yeah.
Always smirking, always know exactly what they're talking about, always laughing.
There's a very big Charlie's Angel-ness to this show because it's him and this bevy of women. Besides Murray,
there's all his
bevies. It's all these gorgeous women who work for him.
Well, it's Aaron Spelling. Of course, he's going to keep leaning into Charlie's Angels.
It's CJ's gorgeous.
Yes.
And then there are these other two or three women who are just constantly in the office, flitting around,
just
doing I don't know what.
Just wearing jeans.
Yeah, jeans, and just looking good.
Just always looking good. There was the one episode where Charlie and her sorority sisters are being stalked. I don't know if you watched that episode.
No, I didn't.
Here's my three favorite episodes.
Okay.
Recipe for Murder.
Okay.
A food critic is at a restaurant and he gets served a severed head in Jell-O.
I need to watch that one.
They bring out a plate with a head in it. There's another episode, a sporting goods mogul starts hunting people in what he calls the most dangerous game. So he's now hunting people with all his different stuff.
That's
and
dark,
equipment.
Hey?
That but fun.
Yeah. Always done fun. Yeah.
Always done fun. Shark attacks.
Didn't see that one.
Oh, so many shark attacks. Everyone's like, guys, there's so many shark attacks. Why so many shark attacks? Matt Houston, why? Because there's too many shark attacks. Those aren't sharks. They're robotic sharks.
Before Austin Powers.
They programmed sharks. They're not robots. They programmed sharks. Yeah. Because there is another one with robots that kill people.
Okay.
Yes. And my favorite episode. Matt Houston, alien hunter.
Alrighty.
Whole bunch of people out in the desert. They're looking for aliens. They go disappearing. He takes on the case, got to find them. There's a fantastic scene where Matt Houston is walking away into smoke and he's holding the hands of two little aliens.
Oh, no. That's so funny. So the pilot is just a general whodunit.
Yeah.
Somebody gets killed. He has to figure out. There's a whole bunch of people who would have benefited from this guy being killed. He has to kind of go through each one, blah, 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 blah. It's a very standard fare.
It's Scooby-Doo, basically. Yeah. You know, from the first bad person you see, you say, well, it's obviously him.
No, that being said, I didn't guess whodunit.
Oh.
It was a surprise. It was good. Oh. It was interesting.
Oh.
Then I randomly chose another episode on YouTube called Whose Party Is It Anyway? Which is from season one. Which is a very different format from the other one, where Matt Houston, Murray, and a few other people receive telegrams, but they look like they're from each other. So
yes.
Murray thinks his telegram is from Matt.
Yes.
Matt thinks his telegram is from Murray. And it's basically gathering a bunch of people in the penthouse for a Sunday afternoon party.
This show's so good.
And they all arrive and they're like dressed to the nines, all of them. There's some...
None looking better than Matt Houston.
There's like some famous military general played by the guy who is the Equalizer. Another show I need to talk about on the show, The Equalizer. What a great show. Edward, I cannot think of his surname right now, but you'll know who he is if you see him. And not long after all these famous people arrive, one of them is killed. And it becomes an Agatha Christie style whodunit. And they're all there. And the penthouse gets locked down by remote control. It was very remote control. Things start happening. The lights go off. The computer starts showing things all by remote control. And it's so funny because even in one character goes, remote control, isn't that the thing that turns your TV on?
Love it.
So 80s. Love it.
Such a good show.
Such a great episode. Again, I didn't see it coming. I was pleasantly surprised by the outcome. It was so entertaining. I really love, I'm going back to this, but like, if I could choose any office of my design.
Of his, yeah.
You know, between the sunken lounge, and who doesn't love a sunken lounge? That was very 70s, bled into the early 80s. The jacuzzi in the middle of the floor. just there.
So inappropriate for the workplace.
And at one point, he's sitting in the jacuzzi with his cowboy hat on. He's
fucking batshit.
Smoking a cigar.
And I'm telling you, no underoos. You know?
Of course not.
Little helicopters floating around there.
Then there's the huge grotto with like which I think was definitely inspired by...
the Playboy Mansion.
Absolutely. Because he even mentions Hugh Hefner at some point. He like makes a mention of Hugh Hefner. And then if you go down the stairs round the grotto, there's a home gym. There's a gym.
You see, the 80s were very big about bringing the outdoors indoors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Indoor gardens. Avorians? Avery's? Anyway, outdoors, indoors. Matt Houston, the greatest TV show. You'll vaguely remember it. The second you see it, you go, fuck me, I know that show. Fuck me, I love that show.
Yep.
It's got all the things. Being Aaron Spelling had so many cameos.
Even the font.
It's so 80s. It had pretty much the entire cast of The Love Boat would pop in and out the show at times. I spotted some famous faces. Listen, there's lots of people, like you said, the guy from The Equalizer. You'll keep seeing people that you go, I know. The most famous, Heather Locklear, she pops up.
Mm.
She was, Aaron Spelling thought she called her his muse.
Oh.
Even though she wasn't in much of his stuff. Melrose Place, yes, but yeah, Heather Locklear. And my favorite was Sonny Bono shows up as Zsa Gabor's character's bodyguard doing karate.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. It was a show when we were way less cynical.
Yeah.
I think because it was so...
We didn't have anything to fact check.
Oh, no, nothing.
Or go,
Like, there's no real reason other than the usual. It was like just given a terrible time slot. I think it was up against Monday Night Football or something like that.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of didn't make it. Because Matt Houston, don't tell me he's better looking than Tom Selleck. You know, he plays off the thing. One of the things worth saying is that, like, the cowboy thing was kind of done by this point of the 80s. You know, people were kind of like they weren't too much into cowboys, especially when you start having Knight Rider and A-Team and MacGyver and Airwolf.
The cowboy thing was a little bit old-fashioned.
And it's all starting to get, like, a lot more, wow, fucking Vietnam War vets and shit like that. And then suddenly you still got a cowboy. So they say people were probably like, fucking kind of done with these cowboy type guys. But you can never be done with Matt Houston, Dory. So Dory, I'd hope to come to you this week with a business opportunity.
All right. Okay.
Business partners. Okay. You and I. We've got to expand our portfolio here, you know. We're not going to make money out of this podcast forever. You know, we've got to kind of, you know, plant seeds while the sun is out. I don't know. Morrissey.
Uh-oh.
Gotta love Morrissey. No social media.
Mm.
Has a website called morrissey-solo.com where he gives out all his communique. All of his communique. All of it.
It's so funny that you mentioned this because I'm listening to my Smith CD in the car.
Oh.
While I'm driving around.
Dory.
Okay.
By calling that your Smith CD, after this business opportunity, might become very prescient. So just a quick view. That is what Morrissey-Solo looks like. Not, you know, we imagine these days, even 80s artists, you're going to have a slick website. This is a fucking, looks like a free forum from 2003.
Yeah, if that, yeah.
Very dated.
Very.
It's very anti-establishment. A post goes up. Morrissey, you know, you can imagine this is not a man who likes content management systems. You know, this is a man who doesn't care for WordPress plugins.
No, from what I understand, he hates absolutely everything and everyone these days.
Okay, well, posted on September the 3rd, Morrissey has no choice but to offer for sale all of his business interests in the Smiths to any interested party / investor. This would include Morrissey's full and exclusive rights to the name The Smiths, as created by Morrissey, all Smiths artwork, as created by Morrissey. He's got to be very clear to say that, not Johnny Marr, Morrissey.
Yes.
All Smiths merchandising rights, all Smiths songs lyrically / musically, all synchronization rights, all Smiths recordings, all contractual rights for Smiths publishing. I am burnt out by any and all connections to Marr, Rourke, Joyce. I've had enough of malicious associations. With my entire life, I've paid my rightful dues to these songs and these images. I would not like to live disassociated from those who wish me nothing but ill will and destruction. And this is the only resolution. The songs are me. They are no one else. But they bring with them business communications that go to excessive lengths to create as much dread and spite year after year. I must now protect myself, especially my health. Okay, so how are you feeling so far? How are you feeling so far before the business opportunity?
He's acting like a petulant child.
All Smith's rights.
Or is he pretending, because he's probably broke, right?
You think he could be broke?
I think he's broke and he needs to make money and he's turning it into a, I don't want to be associated with these people anymore rant, because, you know, he's become all right-wing and weird, which is literally the opposite of how he was. I don't know. I would love to hear from the others.
So you can mail this email address. No, just think here. Smiths.
Yeah.
Despite what you think of Morrissey.
Yeah.
Iconic band. One of the sounds of the
80s. I'm still enjoying the CD.
You're listening to it right now.
I enjoy the songs.
Okay. Massive, massive band.
What am I going to do with it, though? No one cares anymore.
We can find out. We're going to email eves7760@gmail.com. That is the email address given. Eves, 7760, to get everything of the Smiths. Everything. Not just his portion.
Does he say everything. How much money he wants for it?
Everything. Everything, Dari. Everything. Now, I would not be me if I didn't email Eves.
Oh.
Bounce back. This email address does not exist.
Ah.
Yeah. No. Okay. Dear Eves, I am a Nigerian prince. I would like to buy the Smiths. Thank you very much. So,
you know, my favorite song by the Smiths is called Ask. And the lyrics go, ask me, ask me, ask me.
Just ask me.
You know?
Okay, so this is hugely problematic because basically there's a couple of articles going on about this. Is that firstly, he doesn't necessarily own this. And they say the process of selling something like this, they say it's not out of the norm. A lot of people sell it. Cyndi Lauper, I think she just sold hers. But basically, the process goes that you put together like an official pitch deck through your record company, publishers, everything. And it now goes out to a set of investors. There's people who do buy into this, hedge funds that they do buy this. And then you go through that entire process. It is not normally facilitated by a post on a 2003 looking forum website.
Also, surely the other band members should have a say initially.
He's not saying you buy his portion. He's saying the entirety.
Yeah. He believes Johnny Marr's going to be like, hang on a minute.
He did all the, so Morrissey did all the artwork. So he feels that any look and feel to go with the Smiths is his.
Fine.
Which I'm pretty sure it may have been then. There's no way it's not now, right?
Yeah.
Now, they say the problem is, you're quite right. There's no way that you can buy Morrissey's portion without talking to the other band members, especially Johnny Marr.
Yeah.
They do not talk to each other.
Yeah.
And so the easiest way for him to go, even if he does own anything, is to go to Johnny Marr and the other members, say, buy me out. Here's my portion.
Absolutely. That would be the logical thing to
right?
do.
But he doesn't talk to anybody. Okay. So firstly, listen.
I mean, they would probably laugh in his face and go, you're broke. We don't care.
You're broke. We don't care. We've sorted you out. Like, fuck off. Like, you've got your portion.
Yeah.
He is promoting a tour. He's doing a tour himself, Morrissey,
what
in September.
What is he going to do, sing the old songs?
But can he sing them? He can only sing the parts he owns, so 25% of the songs. You can't get hold of Eves.
Okay.
Okay, and there's no Eves. Unless there's so much interest, it just bounces back. But insofar, we'll follow the story as well, but my favorite comment of the entire story was at the bottom of the post, said, Robert Smith could do the funniest thing right now. Because as you remember, they fucking hated each other. The Cure and Morrissey. Robert Smith hated him. And imagine Robert Smith going and buying Morrissey's entire.
It's the right thing for somebody with more money than they know what to do with to do.
But you got to deal with Morrissey.
Yeah, I know. You get a middle person.
Yeah. Get somebody else to do. Not Eves.
No, clearly not.
Not Eves. 2019, Robert Smith says, if Morrissey says don't eat meat, then I'll eat meat because I hate Morrissey. That's pettiness.
I became a vegetarian because of Morrissey for a few years.
And now You see, you're so influenced by him.
For a few years.
I'm just saying, on your drive home,
yeah,
listen to the Smiths, go, fuck, I'd love a piece of that. We could have it. We could have.
If he's worked.
You know,
I wonder how much money they want for this.
At what point does he get desperate and just start selling off individual songs?
Yes, I want to ask. I love it. My favorite.
I want my girlfriends in a coma. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this has been That 80s Show. Leathered up in Matt Houston. Fuck, that man must have smelt glorious.
The Cologne.
Can you imagine that?
Brut?
I think he had such a natural musk all the time, and then he just enhanced
it. That's why the jacuzzi.
So many pheromones. He'd impregnate you just by getting in a jacuzzi. Houston, we do not have a problem. Thanks for joining me, Dari. Goodbye.
Bye.